Good to be back. This is What Will Jesus Do podcast episode 3. It's so good to be back, Eden. How you feeling?
Feeling lovely.
For the newbies here, we're rookie host of What Will Jesus Do podcast. I'm Jennifer, and like you heard,
I'm Eden.
We're both believers in Christ Jesus, and What Will Jesus Do podcast is a platform where we share hot takes on navigating this Christian walk in this generation. So stick with us and hear the juicy details and learn based on our experiences. And hey, we could also learn from you in the comments. So let's get into it. Hey, so we're going to be talking about living life to the fullest on this episode. I feel like us Christians struggle with just enjoying life. You know, everybody gets out there, they have fun, and it's almost like people think that Christians don't have fun. People think Christians don't know how to have fun because we believe in Jesus and there's so many restrictions. Yeah, there are a lot of restrictions, but those restrictions are what keeps us grounded in the faith, right?
Number one, and they keep you safe. Number two. Because y'all out here thinking y'all living your life, y'all have problems. Y'all are going through stuff.
Serious stuff. But even though we're going through stuff, we have someone that we can talk to and makes us feel better. But you guys, on the other hand, non-believers, it's a roller coaster for you because you keep going back to the same thing that cannot solve your problem. Hence this pod.
Yes.
Okay. So today we just want to talk about the pressure that comes with being in the faith as a Christian. You have friends who are unbelievers and you have even believers as friends as well, but are one leg in, one leg out. You know, they say, oh, you can be a Christian and still go clubbing. Hey, who says we can't have fun in the club as a Christian? Are we the one that killed Jesus? You know? Can we talk about it? Can we talk about it?
So, no, you cannot go to the club as a believer. Okay, our last episode was about the presence of God, right?
Right.
So there's just some places that the presence of God are not going to be.
Ding, ding, ding.
And when the presence of God is not there, that means there's another presence that's there.
Oh my God.
And what comes with that other presence? Evil. Bad things come with that other presence.
That is such a word. That is a word. You're preaching. Okay.
So for me, especially when I was younger, like when I was in college and stuff like that, you have friends that are not necessarily believers or friends that are believers, like they believe in God and believe in Jesus, but they're still like doing worldly things and all of that. So you feel the pressure to fit in or to FOMO, fear of missing out. Like you feel like you have to be there because that's what your peers are doing. But my dear, there's nothing there. What they're doing is not edifying to the soul. It's not helping you fulfill your purpose or your destiny. And you're really not missing out on anything. So for me, as far as the pressure that comes with being a believer, I think that having Christian friends that are really walking the talk. You know, that are actually
right.
Not just Christian by mouth, but like actually walking in their faith plays a key part in things. Number two, actually finding fun things to do that are within the scope of our faith. Yes. So for me, you know, I tried drinking. I've never smoked, but I definitely tried drinking and all that other stuff. And then at a point I was like, I don't even like drinking. You know, why am I drinking? You go out to brunch. I went out to brunch with my friends all the time and I would drink and it's like, I don't even like this, the taste of it. So why am I doing it?
Yeah.
To fit in? For what? You know?
Yeah.
For what, really? Like, I had to reflect. I had to look at myself and speak to myself. Why are you doing these things? Do you need to do these things? Are they helping you? Is it in line with the word? Some people bring up the fact that, oh, Jesus turned water into wine. as an excuse why they should be able to drink and, oh, you just don't have to get drunk and all this other stuff. Mm-hmm. But really, at the end of it, ask yourself, why are you drinking? I mean, there's some people that like the taste of it.
Yeah.
But if you really ask yourself, a lot of these people do not like the taste. They don't like the taste.
It's almost like they're trying to dull their senses. They're trying to forget something. People do it for so many different reasons.
Some people do it to forget, like to cope.
Yeah.
To forget what happened to them, trauma, past traumas. Some people just do it to release their inhibitions. Mm. So like they feel like if they drink, that's when they could let loose and do things that they normally, their conscience would tell them not to do, you know? So for me, as far as the pressures that come with being young, living in this world, is knowing why you do things, asking yourself, does this align with God's word? And having those friends that are really walking the walk.
That is so true. And I just want to echo what you said about drinking and people saying that Jesus turned water to wine. The Bible also says that in everything, let it be moderation. Mm. So if you're the type who feels like there's nothing wrong with drinking, Eden said, like, why, what's your reason for actually indulging in this drinking? Why are you doing it? Are you doing it to celebrate? Are you doing it to cope? Are you doing it for competition? There are people who boast of drinking 5 bottles of beer. No shaking.
That's shaking.
And I'm talking from experience because I've been there. I'm a sweet tooth, but when I used to drink, I wasn't drinking because I liked it. I don't like the taste. So I used to do it because I needed it to cope, and I would do it because I needed to prove to people that I could do it and nothing will happen. I'm from Delta State. No shaking. No day. I cannot. Me, I will drink it. Nothing will happen. See people, I would just be laughing at you. And truly, back then, as dainty as I was, I would do it and nothing will happen. And they would just be healing me. And I would, it was crazy. But like, you need to ask yourself, why are you doing these things? Mm. It's a personal consecration to some people. For me, I don't drink. If at all, I'm going to drink anything that has a bit of alcohol in it. Could be like a cocktail, and maybe due to like, maybe we're celebrating something and you're drinking champagne. Hey, we're celebrating. Cheers to this, cheers to that. And that's it. I don't drink because I needed to. Mm-hmm. It's going to release an inhibition or I'm coping with something. I don't do it because of that. For people will say I drink socially. I don't think that's it for me. It's not even socially for me, because we're doing it because, hey, okay, let's just get it over with. We've celebrated, we said cheers, and that's it. Otherwise, why are we really doing this thing? What is it going to do for me if I don't like the taste? If it doesn't please me, if it pleases me, if you're drinking alcohol and at the end of the day is going to question your faith, then that's when you begin to question yourself, why are you really doing this? You need to stop doing it because it's not edifying you, and it's not edifying the body of Christ as well.
Exactly. Right?
Yeah. So that's it. Second thoughts. If at all you're doing anything whatsoever, even if it's not drinking, you need to ask yourself, is the Holy Spirit pleased with what you're doing? As a believer, I'm not even talking about people who believe in God but are not saved. I'm talking about as a believer. Ask yourself, is the Holy Spirit pleased with what you're doing?
Are you harming yourself?
Are you harming yourself?
And your body?
Because the Bible says your body does not belong to you. Mm-hmm. It belongs to Christ. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So imagine you're drinking or you're indulging in premarital sex or whatever it is that you're doing. Imagine you casting out the Holy Spirit from you, because the Holy Spirit is not going to abide in that body.
Mm-hmm.
You can't serve two masters, it's written.
You know what comes to mind right now? The Bible says thou shalt not kill, right?
Mm-hmm.
And doing certain things is like you slowly killing yourself, like smoking and drinking. Drinking excessively and for an extended amount of time leads to liver cirrhosis. Smoking and smoking for an extended amount of time leads to emphysema, COPD, all these other chronic conditions.
Mm-hmm.
So you're slowly killing yourself.
You're preaching.
I'm just saying. And what is it really doing for you? Like, that's what it comes down to, asking yourself, why do I do this?
I don't feel like I'm missing out on anything at all. Because I like to question places that I go to. Will the Holy Spirit follow me there? It's just like you mentioned, clubbing.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to the club and you're shaking your ass and you're doing all of those things.
God ain't there, sis.
No.
God is not there with you.
God is not there with you.
God might be waiting for you outside.
But it's not in there.
He's not in there.
He's not in there with you. Why would you, as a believer? Okay, so let's have a put it this way. What is the difference between you and the unbeliever? There should be like a clear distinction.
Yes.
If you claim to be a believer, being a believer is following Christ. You do all the things that Jesus did when he was on earth. That is what being a Christian is. You're a follower of Christ. I do not think Christ went to the club. If he went to the club, he went to pull people out of the club. Not clubbing with them. Clubbing with them in the sense that an action word, like dropping it like it's hot and doing all of that. No. That was not what he did. Because a lot of people will say, oh, well, Jesus chilled with the sinners. Yes, he did.
He broke bread with them.
He
spoke to them. He was not clubbing with them. You know what I mean? He was trying to show that, because, you know, in the biblical times, there was a clear distinction between people who they feel are sinners, like tax collectors and prostitutes and all this other stuff. And they're ostracized from the rest of the community.
Yeah.
But Jesus was trying to show that he came to reconcile all of us back to God.
Exactly. And they were doing that because, what you call them, the Hebrews thought that they were more Christian than any other person because they were more holy. Mm-hmm. That's not the truth. They were just self-righteous, and that's not being Christian.
Right.
That was why Jesus needed to come deliver, to save those who were outcasts,
written off, rejected.
Look at the story of Mary Magdalene, mm-hmm. who was rejected. She was the one who even witnessed Jesus first when he rose.
Yeah.
Like these are very sweet stories because because Jesus likes to turn messes to a message. So I don't feel, as a Christian, I don't feel like I'm missing out at all, because if God is not there, I don't want to be there. If God is going to judge me, I don't want to do it. If I feel like my faith is going to be jeopardized by doing that, then I don't want to do it. I don't care what you think about me. You can call me whatever, Jesus girl, or SU, call me whatever. I think I've come to the point where I even love it. Before I used to shy away from letting people know how crazy I was about Jesus, but I'm so nerdy about it right now. I think it's now becoming part of pop culture. And people are beginning to come into themselves in their faith. Most people that are making it part of pop culture, they're not doing it the right way. They're like, okay, everybody's now talking about Jesus. I want to be a part of Jesus. You know that kind of feeling where something is in and you want to be a part of it? Yeah. No, like we're not part of the wave. We are the wave. We are actually following Jesus. Mm-hmm. We're not doing it because it's in.
Yeah.
We know that the time has come and Jesus is coming soon. Mm-hmm. We're doing these things to bring more people into the faith. We're doing this so that people can see that Jesus really exists and Jesus is out there wanting to bring more people into the faith. He doesn't want anybody to be condemned. So if you think that you're playing Jesus, I'm sorry, you're going to miss it. Don't play Jesus. We're not here acting out religiously. We are actually Christians and we're daily dying to ourselves, dying to our flesh, just to be righteous, just to make heaven. So I think back to the conversation, we're not missing out on anything. Believe me when I say I'm not missing out on anything. Eden has already said it. She has made it clear. We're not missing out on anything. Yeah. You say drinking is fun. Have fun. We don't think it's fun.
I don't miss it at all, actually. I stopped drinking, I would say, in like 2015, somewhere about there. And that's when I really spoke to myself like, girl, you don't even like the taste of it. What are you really drinking for? You could go to brunch and drink some juice.
Yeah.
You could drink water. Mm-hmm. You'll be all right.
There's so many fun activities that you could do as a Christian. It's just rolling with the right crew. What's your circle like? You need to vet your circle. If your circle is the type that's always wanting to go crazy and all of these places that we've mentioned, sis, bro, you've deviated from this Christian faith. You need some Christian friends. You're either hot or you're cold. You can't be lukewarm. God is going to spit you out.
Spew you out.
Yeah. I guess that answers it. And then there's this other one. one that's pretty interesting. It says, what are the fun things believers can do without compromising their faith?
Go to the zoo. Read a book. Go to the movies. Go to the mall.
I know, right?
Go hiking. Like, there's so many things you can do.
Travel.
I just went to Nigeria recently. There's a million and one things you could do that doesn't involve necessarily drinking or smoking or going to strip clubs or stuff like that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why people feel like if you don't do certain things, you're missing out on life. You're not enjoying your life.
You know, I can count the number of times I've been to the club, even before I gave my life to Christ.
Same.
I never understood the concept of going to the club and shouting, dancing, drinking.
Sweating.
I'm always
people,
seeing
random
news,
people touching you.
You know?
Oh,
So when people would say, what do you do for fun? And I don't mention clubbing, like, oh, you're so boring. Really? I do other things like karaoke.
Oh my gosh. I love karaoke.
The salsa is karaoke.
Yeah.
Like, there are fun things that you could do.
Mm-hmm.
Surfing. I don't know how to surf, by the way. There's jet skiing.
Yeah.
There's so many fun things that you could
go
do.
Go swimming. Go to the
have
beach.
Picnics.
Go to Six Flags.
Places with your friends. Have brunch. There's so many things that you could do. Why do I have to
drink,
smoke, or go to the club to finally say, oh, I've had fun in life?
Exactly. And I actually think that there's a problem if you feel like you're not having fun unless you drink, you smoke,
yes,
or you go to the club.
Yes.
You really need to do some introspection.
You need to find out what you like.
Self-reflection.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's not real fun.
No, it's not.
This is a no judgment zone, though.
No, really.
We're not judging you. We're just trying to say, do better, sis.
Yeah.
Do better, bro.
And we're trying to help
get to the real way
with our experiences, because mm-hmm. by the grace of God, we've experienced certain things that we can discuss.
We've been through.
So I think it'll be good to share that. Like we said at the beginning of the podcast, we are just giving hot takes on this Christian journey. So these are our hot takes. So I think you need to like find out what you like where you feel like you have to drink so that you can be out
extroverted.
If you're an introverted person, there must be something that you like. You don't have to, even if you want to like do things that extroverted people do, maybe you need to roll with the right people and you would see how interesting you are as an extroverted person.
1000%
without having to compromise by drinking or smoking.
1000%, because I'm like more so an introverted person,
mm-hmm.
you know, but if I'm with the right people, I come out of my shell. But before, with the drinking and trying to go to the club, that's totally not me. And I had to come to the point where I spoke to myself, like that introspection, that moment of reflection. And I was really like, Eden, what do you really actually like to do? Be true to yourself.
Yeah.
You're an introvert. You don't like all of this stuff. Stop trying to force yourself to be what you're not. So certain things that believers should steer clear from. I think compromising yourself. You know you don't like to drink. You know you don't like to go clubbing. You know you don't like to do certain things that your friends are doing, but you want to do it so that you can feel among, or you want to do it so that you can be quote unquote cool. I mean, first of all, that's a whole nother conversation that I had to have with myself. Why am I trying to be quote unquote cool? And who are these people that I'm trying to be cool for or impress? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. The only person you should be trying to impress or make proud of you is God. Let's talk about that. Period. Right? So I had to have that discussion with myself as well. Like, all these people I'm trying to impress or trying to be cool for, trying to feel among, I don't really need all of that. And when I spoke to myself and I realized that, I backed away from a lot of people that were not serving my purpose and my Christian walk. So having that, it really goes back to that reflection and introspection and knowing yourself and who you are in God. And that would just put you on the right path.
Personally, I would say as a Christian, things that you should stay clear of are friends who influence you to compromise your faith. If you feel like you have a friend who is imposing, if you feel like the person has an upper hand, you need to cut that relationship. I've had friends that whenever they say something, I'm like easy to, like, it's easy for me to give in and say, oh, well, she said it. Let me just do it. I'll just do it. I'll just do it. You know, like, let me just do it. I beg. I don't want to feel left out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you feel like you're constantly doing that, you need to check yourself. Be careful of those kind of friends, friends that can easily influence you, especially as negatively. A new believer, because you cannot be well fed and still be around those kind of friends. You should be the one influencing those people, mm-hmm. not them influencing you. But if you're still like growing in your faith and you have this kind of friends, you need to cut them off. You need to cut them off immediately. Friendships that do not serve your purpose, like Eden said, cut off immediately. You need to steer clear of every community or all communities that do not edify you. For instance, say you're in school. What kind of clubs are you in? What kind of social clubs, sports clubs, or whatever are you in? Is it compromising your faith? If it is, cut it off. If you're at work, what kind of work do you do? The work that you do, does it serve your purpose? Does it edify you? If it constantly makes you question your faith, cut it off. God will take care of you. Don't worry. Trust me, there are many opportunities out there. I once had a conversation with my cousin and she was telling me that she was looking for new opportunities because she just felt like she has gotten to a point in this, her Christian work, where she doesn't feel like she needs to continue doing the kind of job that she does. Mm. And that's a bold step. It's never an easy step. A really good job, a well-paid job. For her to have that conversation, it means that she has leveled up in her faith. She knows that if I'm going to keep growing, I can't continue doing this. It's scary. Let me not lie to you. It's not going to be easy because the next opportunity might not pay as much as the one that you're in right now. And the next opportunity might pay you more. That's true. But like, it's every step that you take is a bold one. A step of faith. Why do you think that if you're following God, you will not get the best? Why do we always think that nothing rich can come out of pursuing this faith? She gets. Some people say, oh, that's funny. That a lot of people that look at how sinners are making a lot of money, they're doing this, they're doing that, and yet we're the ones who are suffering and we're just hustling.
Is that really of God? Because when I look at the Bible and all the people that walked with God, they were wealthy. He blessed them with wealth. What? Abraham, Solomon, David,
Job.
You know, he blessed them in every area.
So why do we constantly have these conversations? Why, like Joseph, let's think about Joseph. Why do we constantly think that we cannot have it all? Who says you can't have it all as a Christian? So like I said,
and have fun doing it too.
And have fun doing it. So like I said, of course, whatever is going to compromise your faith, just stay clear. You don't want to bring all of that baggage with you. When you're journeying with God, it's peace. It's always fruitful. It might not look like it sometimes. That's because you need to go through that process. But I promise you, because I'm speaking from experience as well, Eden is also speaking from experience. It might not be pretty at first, but it will always blossom in the end, mm-hmm. you get. So I think that answers it. This is one of that interesting topic. Says, can we actually talk about dress codes and music and and conversations in this generation? Because nowadays you see people who claim to be believers and they're just dressing a certain way, they talk a certain way, they listen to certain music, and you begin to wonder. There are young people coming up as well. We have like the Gen Alpha coming now after Gen Z, and they're looking up to us. Whatever they see us doing, thinking it's okay to do, is what they would emulate, right? Emulated some of these great fathers that we talked about in the last episode. There's the likes of Pastor Ea Adeboye. There are tons of them. I reference Pastor Ea Adeboye because I go to Redeemed Christian Church of God, and he has influenced me in such a mighty way. That's why he comes first. I don't know why, but yeah, he's a lovely man as well. And there are people who are also going to look up to us because we openly talk about our faith. We won't openly talk about Jesus. If we're saying that we're Christians, we need to set the standard.
Right.
You can't be claiming to be a Christian and you're cussing.
Mm.
Yeah, the S word, the F word. What is now the difference between you and somebody who's not saved? Can we get into this discussion? Because I've heard a lot of believers talking, and I'm just shocked. I'm like, babe, girl, and you're going to be raising up holy hands in church.
You know what's so funny? When you were talking about the cursing, it's like a running joke between me and my husband, because I am so particular about only speaking positivity, mm-hmm. that like, let's say I was feeling sick, I wouldn't tell somebody I'm feeling sick. I would be like, I'm feeling blessed right now. So anything that's negative, I say blessed instead. So I'm so particular about not trying to say anything negative, because I do believe believe in the power of the tongue,
yeah,
and speaking positivity only. But going back to the dress code, I've seen that my, like right now I'm like trying to switch my wardrobe into more so like modest,
yeah,
clothing. And as believers, is really, we don't really see that amongst Christian, young Christian people. You know, a lot of us are dressing in compromising ways. Like I said, this is a no judgment zone,
yeah,
but it's a call for us to do better and to recognize that our body is the temple of the Almighty, yeah, and our body is not for gaze of anybody. If you're dressing in a way, yes, you have the right to dress any way that you want to dress, and the way that you dress does not give anybody the right to harass you or touch you or any kind of abuse towards you.
Yeah,
but that's not exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about your Christian faith and your Christian walk. So the way that you dress can impact other people, especially other people in your Christian walk. We're talking about Christians right now.
Yeah,
you know, so you have the responsibility to dress in a way that will not make your brother fall. You do, right, have that responsibility being a believer and being in the community of believers. And my Muslim sisters, like, I love how they dress. I really, I've been looking at a lot of modest clothing, and the websites I've been finding are like Muslim websites.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Why don't we have Christian websites with these nice, beautiful clothing though?
But
that goes to tell you, you know, we're I feel like the Christian community were compromised in our dressing.
I think there's something about us Christians. I think we misuse the grace that God has given to us.
Mm.
We keep saying that we have the grace of God and it will always be there. But can we stop abusing this grace?
Mm.
And claiming that
God understands.
Not even God understands. Like, God sees my heart.
Oh, wow.
Like, God knows what's in my heart. He's not looking at what I'm wearing. He's not looking at the outward appearance. He's looking at the inward appearance.
Mm.
You can be inwardly pure, but what does your outward appearance speak of you?
Mm-hmm.
Because beauty comes from the inside and reflects on the outside.
Yeah.
That's the way beauty works.
And right? The thing is, you're supposed to come as you are, but you're not supposed to stay as you are. You're supposed to transform.
Oh my God.
You're supposed to get better.
That is such a word.
You know?
You're supposed to improve. Today. So. You're supposed to improve and look better. And we're not even saying that you should dress like Muslims or cover yourself from head to toe or anything.
What I was talking about just now, as far as like the modest clothing,
yeah,
I'm talking about the fashionista Muslims. Okay, yes. I'm not talking about the ones that cover themselves from head to toe. I'll show you like a website.
You know, I'm just putting out there so that nice. I think so because you know, listeners out there might think that, oh, so are you now saying we need to clear the air sometimes?
Oh, okay, yeah.
You know what people are thinking? Oh, you want us to start wearing hijabs?
No, I'm talking about the fashionistas, the one you see on the explore page on IG.
On IG.
Yeah, those ladies, like, so they dress to the nines, like, okay?
So pretty.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
Dude, even Christian clothing lines, I don't shop from Christian clothing lines, but I'm a very stylish person. And when I choose clothes, I'm choosing clothes because they're going to look good on me. I don't want to look trashy. I'm not going to claim that I'm a Christian and then come out and people cannot even tell if I'm a Christian or not. People should be able to differentiate and say, ah, this girl, she's a Jesus girl. She's a Jesus buddy. You know?
Jesus buddy. Jesus, I like buddy. That.
You know? Jesus buddy. Yeah. Because a lot of people post online and like, I'm a buddy. Okay, so, but as a Christian, can you brag that you are a buddy for Christ? A tongue-speaking buddy for Christ. It's not buddy like the world claims, but buddy that you know the word. Buddy that you can quote the word. Buddy that you are walking in faith. Buddy that you are speaking in tongues. Buddy that prophesies. You know, hello. This is what we're talking about. You can't claim to be a buddy and you cannot pray. Mm. You can't claim to be a buddy and you cannot speak the word. You can't claim to be a buddy and you don't look like a buddy for Christ.
Can't say you're a buddy. You don't know where Genesis is in the Bible.
Ah! Hey, Esther was a baddie.
Yeah.
Why do we make Christianity seem like it's one dull religion?
The Bible like literally says she was like the fairest of all of them.
She was the fairest of them. Like, imagine this girl went through 1 year of beauty.
And fairest means most beautiful, not the most light skinned.
Can we be real with ourselves? Like, it's not boring to be a Christian. It's not boring at all. I get this ick when people say, oh, yeah, Christian. Oh, these people, they've come again. You know, like, because when you're a Christian, when you're crazy about Jesus, everything that you do, even socially, before you know it, you've already mentioned Jesus.
That's true, yeah.
There's no, it's a part of you. You can't escape it. You can't even do without it. People get irked when I mention Jesus or talk about it in the midst of normal, we can just be talking about anything and then I'll just mention something in the Bible or just talk about the Christian faith in general.
Yeah, like,
you've come again.
If you've gone the whole day and you haven't mentioned Jesus and you're a Christian, how does that work?
I don't know. I don't know. But guys, you can also share in the comment section as well. How do you come out of such situations when people just feel like you're living a boring lifestyle by being a Christian? How do you come out of those situations? We'd like to get your perspective on that as well. But personally, we're telling you guys that if you're a Christian, you need to walk the talk in the kind of music that you listen to, the way you dress, the way you talk. You can't be a Christian and you're cussing. You can't be a Christian and you're dressing promiscuously out there. You can look really good. Like, you can look sexy while being modest. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
If you go, there's so many options on Pinterest, on IG. You can look good without looking like,
without being revealing.
Like revealing. And even music, to the kind of music you listen to, it affects you subconsciously. Just like how you listen to gospel music and it does something to you. The same thing happens when you listen to worldly songs.
Oh my gosh, 1000%. This singer, this American singer, and like, he's known as like a depression kind of singer. Like, his music is like depressing. And so people that are feeling depressed listen to that song.
You need to vet your archives, mm-hmm. vet the your favorite musicians, listen to the lyrics, because sometimes I don't even listen to the lyrics. I'm listening to the sound.
Yeah.
I'm listening to the sound because sound dulls your senses. It dulls your senses. So you're not paying attention to the lyrics. You just feel good because, oh wow, I'm bopping my head to this. This sounds good. It takes discernment, you know, for me to then say, oh my God, did she release it? There are some things that I've posted on my IG with some certain songs that I really like, that I dig. Mm-hmm. And then I had to go and delete or archive. As much as I loved the picture mm-hmm. that I posted, I had to archive it because I didn't like the lyrics of that song. So sometimes what I do, maybe if I like the beats, I'll only let the beat play, but everything else. But now, like, there's a certain consecration that comes that I don't even want to be associated with the artist, especially if it has to do with like a certain artist that I know is notorious for being
there's one evil. Name I want to say
the
right
name,
now
there's a name I want to
oh,
say
oh gosh I don't want to say his name but there's a name I'm thinking about.
Tell me why you go for concerts and people are dying and people are getting themselves injured. That alone should tell you that this is pure evil. You can't go to the house of God worshipping and seeing people breaking their necks or dying. Why? You'll never go to an Elevation concert or a Maverick concert and hear that somebody died or there was an accident or people injured themselves. Tons of people. There's a difference if maybe you were climbing this building and you tripped. Okay, and we don't even hear of that. But you go for a concert, and you know what? I'm just going to mention it. Look at this Travis Scott event that happened, like, was it last year or 2 years ago? How many people died? Can we as Christians have this consecration about ourselves and decide that we're Christians and we're not going to go to the same concerts that unbelievers go to, because the person that you're listening to is not a believer. It might know about God, but it's not a believer. Let's call a spade a spade. We don't want to sugarcoat anything. That is why I'm calling it like it is. Go and vet the songs that you listen to.
Yeah. Me being a music minister, singer, I love music. Mm-hmm. Like, everything about music. I love the instruments, the beats, the vocals, every single aspect of music I love. And the first thing that gets me for a song is the beat.
Yeah.
You know? So I'll be vibing to the beat. And then I listen to the lyrics and I'm like, dang, I can't listen to the song.
I can't listen to the song
because of the words that I'm hearing is not edifying to my soul or my spirit, you know? Even like sometimes my musical tastes are very broad. I'll listen to anything if it sounds good and the lyrics are good.
Yeah.
And not wrong. Let's just leave it like that. So even in different languages, I will take my time to go look up the lyrics, translate the lyrics, and make sure I'm not listening to something that's cursing myself. Yes. You know? Because some of the music out here, believe it or not, is actually very demonic.
Yes, it is.
Satan was a music angel in heaven. So that already lets you know that he's very much in the music industry and very much involved in a lot of your favorite artists' music.
Yeah, that is so spot on. I once heard about, because I also listened to Jackie Hill Perry, which is also your favorite.
Yeah.
And she mentioned that one of her friends used to like this certain artist, and this artist worships a certain idol, like she belongs to like a certain cult or something. Jackie Hill Perry is so exposed that she researches everything. She wants to read about everything. So in that conversation, she was saying that she went on to do a research and she found out that the song that this person was singing in our entire album was a worship, like a love song to the God that she serves.
Wow.
And this is, like translated, it's like a translation to worship that God that she serves. You can imagine, and you're there, and she sleeps. She said her friend used to sleep to the song.
Oh my God.
Imagine sleeping to that song.
You're worshiping the God already.
It's like,
I wouldn't even know.
I was so sad because.
I'm going to Google that.
I was so sad. It's crazy that we don't pay attention to some of the lyrics of the songs that we love. Even there are some songs that claim to be Christian that you need to pay attention to. Not just all Christian songs
are actually
gospels.
Christian.
You know, you need to be discerning. That is the overarching conversation here. Make sure you're discerning in music, in your conversation.
Yes.
It says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight.
Yes.
So make sure that your conversation is right. Make sure what proceeds out of your heart is right, because your subconscious has already digested that song, and ultimately you begin to say things you're not supposed to say. You begin to do things you're not supposed to do.
Another thing is people need to realize that we are spiritual beings, you know.
Yeah.
And not to get too much into it, but music is one of those things that you're not just listening to it, you know. It's like entering you, you know,
you're feeding on it actually.
Yes, it's like
because you're a spirit being, you're feeding on it.
So you really need to be mindful of what you listen to.
Yeah.
What you watch as well.
It's what you read as well.
Yeah.
What you read. I, for one, don't watch horror movies.
Oh my gosh, girl.
I don't watch horror movies.
Do you know?
I used to love horror movies.
I watched all the Saw movies.
That is such a channel. That is such a demonic channel. That is a demonic channel.
So demonic. And I don't know when I got that epiphany, but from that moment on, I never watched another horror movie.
I don't even know either, but I just knew at one point I just stopped because
yeah,
I'm like, why would I watch a movie and be scared for my life? Why would I be looking at even till today? And this one was not even a horror movie, it was Snakes on the Plane.
Oh. Oh gosh.
Till today, I still make sure that I flush before I use any bathroom
or toilet.
Oh my god. Because I don't want to stick. I've been traumatized because I've been made to believe that snakes could be hidden anywhere. This is not even a horror movie. So imagine what a horror movie could do to you.
Yeah.
These are channels. Music, movies, documentaries, whatnot. Yeah. Even podcast is a channel because you're listening to it, you're digesting it as a spirit being.
Yeah.
Your eyes, you're reading, you're seeing these things, you're digesting it as a spirit being.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be careful of what you read, about what you listen to.
Be mindful and be mindful. Intentional.
And be intentional. This has been an interesting conversation, and I'll just get to the last one. To live life to the fullest, you just need to know who you are in Christ. First
Number
of
one.
All, you need to discover yourself and know your purpose. Ask God as
a
Christian.
Be authentic to yourself.
If you're a Christian and you don't know what your purpose is yet, you have to back check. Pray about it. And sometimes we think prayer is hard. Prayer is not hard. Prayer is just a conversation with your lover, Jesus. As a believer, you're having a conversation with this person that you believe in. Just ask him.
He's a friend.
Yeah, ask him.
He's a brother.
Hey,
he's a father.
Jesus, what have you called me to be? What have you called me to be? Jeremiah 1:5 says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb, and I ordained you as a prophet. So that's your blank check. If you want to know who you are in Christ, go and read Jeremiah 1:5. It's clear. Go and read Isaiah 43:1. It's clear. Just ask God.
Who am I? I don't know where they are in the Bible. I need to Google it. But there's some scriptures that come to mind. Like when I think of who I am, mm-hmm. the Bible says I'm the salt of the earth. Oh. I'm a city on a hill that cannot be hidden.
Yeah.
I'm a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a holy nation, a peculiar person,
sis,
a crown of glory, a royal diadem in the hand of the Father.
Yeah.
I'm chosen, you know?
Right. So if he's called you chosen, he's called you chosen for a reason. What has he chosen you for? You want to know, you want to get a clear perspective of why you were created on this earth. You don't want to live a life of mediocrity without knowing who you are.
Right.
If you already know who you are in Christ, how about you take a step further and know why you or why God called you or why you were born in the first place? If you don't know your purpose, you need to figure it out. And don't beat yourself up. Just keep talking. If you feel like you're not hearing anything, you know, just read the scriptures. Read about it. Read about people who discovered their potentials. Look at Moses. Look at the story of Moses. Look at the story of Joseph.
I love Joseph. Like, that is such a major story that I always try to remember.
Yeah.
About how what the devil meant for evil or what some people mean for evil is really, as long as you stay rooted in God and you know that you are connected and you're doing the right thing, whatever any force or anybody might be doing to you is going to push you to your destiny, push you to your purpose.
So that's how to live life to the fullest, guys.
Yes.
Live life to the fullest with Jesus in your boat, and it's going to be...
He will direct your path.
An awesome ride. It's going to direct your path. And I hope you enjoyed this episode of What Would Jesus Do podcast. I know I had fun. Eden, did you have fun?
Yes, live life to the fullest.
Live life to the fullest, guys. Thanks for tuning in to What Would Jesus Do podcast. And if
you're... Episode 3.
Yeah, episode 3. And if you're out there and you're still trying to discover your faith, you've been in and out of church, you've been told that there's this Jesus who does awesome things and you just seem to be indifferent about it, but now you're curious to know, welcome you abroad.
Welcome.
And if you're once a believer and you lost your faith and you want to come back, God is always arms wide open to receive you. Thank you once again. My name is Jennifer.
And I'm Eden.
And thank you for joining us on What Will Jesus Do podcast. Please stay tuned for episode 4. Bye.
Bye-bye.